Hello, and welcome to episode 10 of the Everyday Confidence podcast from theskillfulmind.com. I'm your host, Steve George, and today we're going to be talking a little bit about how we can change the negative beliefs we've got about ourselves. So in the last episode, we talked a little bit about how to go about identifying the core beliefs you've got about other people. Then, how by changing the questions that we ask, we can design a more empowering belief system. And that works really well in most situations, because if you stop your negative pattern of thought as soon as you notice it, it's then relatively easy to think of an alternative option. Now, unfortunately, it gets more difficult when we're identifying those same negative beliefs in ourselves. Those beliefs seem to be much more deeply ingrained, and so they generally feel much more difficult for us to try and change. Now, the reason for that is because it's easy for us to think that our assumptions about someone we've never met could be wrong, because we don't know them, we don't know what sort of person they really are, we don't know how they'll behave in different situations, we're just using a generalised view to make an assumption. But clearly we know ourselves, don't we? And so how can the beliefs we've got about ourselves possibly be wrong? Well, our map of the world, just like we spoke about in the previous episode, also applies to our own emotions, as well as those we've got about other people. We generalise our thoughts about ourselves, and then apply them to our current situation. But when we apply our map to ourselves, it usually causes much bigger issues. So let me explain briefly why. Well, in the last episode, we used the theoretical example of a male driver cutting you off on the street. And I asked you to imagine that you had a generalised negative belief that all men are arrogant. Then I asked if it would be possible to believe that that driver was rushing to get somewhere because of an emergency. And if it was, then it's entirely possible that the driver wasn't being arrogant at all, but was just doing whatever he could to get there quickly. And that scenario isn't too difficult to imagine, because we don't know that man, so it's entirely possible that our immediate thoughts were wrong. After all, we might have been wrong this single time, but generally men are still arrogant, right? So our general belief hasn't been harmed by this one small deviation from what we see as our truth. But when we look at ourselves, how can we possibly be wrong? After all, we've known ourselves forever, haven't we? So let's break down what happens, and then we can look at the ways to fix it. Now, your negative thoughts directed at yourself are still generalised, and that's what causes the biggest issue. If we were to judge each situation individually, then the problem wouldn't exist. So, for example, imagine that something in your home was broken. And so, obviously, then you've now got two choices. You can either pay a professional to come in and fix it, or you can try and fix it yourself. So, let's say you decide to try your hand at doing it yourself, but you end up breaking it even more. Now, the logical response would be to think something along the lines of, trying to fix it myself without knowing what I was doing was stupid. But unfortunately, what we tend to think is something like, I'm so stupid, why didn't I just get someone who knows what they're doing to try and fix it? Now, can you see the subtle difference in those two thoughts? Let me give you the two thoughts again. Trying to fix it myself without knowing what I'm doing was stupid. And the second one, I'm so stupid, why didn't I just get someone who knows what they're doing to fix it? So, on the face of it, they both seem pretty similar. But in the first example, and that's the one you should be using, you're embedding in your mind, trying to fix it yourself was stupid. And if we're honest, it's likely true. If you didn't know what you were doing, then there has to be at least a reasonable chance that you're going to make it worse by doing it yourself, even if it's only by a little bit. So all you've admitted to yourself really is that on that occasion, doing that one thing, it was a stupid thing to do. And everyone does stupid things now and again. No one's perfect all the time. And that's all right. Nobody's supposed to be perfect. But in the second example, the one that we're all guilty of, what you're actually embedding is, I'm so stupid. And the trouble is, we get carried away in the grip of an emotion without taking the time to think if that emotion's actually helping us or making things worse. So it's important to remember that you're not your emotions. We all at some point tell ourselves things like, I don't know, I'm stressed or I'm scared or I'm embarrassed. So what you're actually doing is identifying as your feelings. It doesn't seem like a big thing, but what you're actually doing is anchoring in your subconscious that fear, embarrassment, stress, etc., whatever it was, is who you actually are. And so whenever you find yourself in a similar situation, Your mind plays that pattern of fear or embarrassment, etc., whatever it was, before you've even tried. So you automatically do the same things you did last time, and so you automatically suffer the same effects you did last time. I'll give you another quick example. Let's say that a few months ago, you had to present the findings of a report at work. You've never spoken in public before, and you were feeling a bit nervous. Just before you were about to give the presentation, you stood up, and your mouth started to feel dry, your hands started shaking, and you could feel the tiny droplets of sweat running down your back. Yeah, I know, I've been there. And the thoughts started coming then. So things like, what if I mumble? What if I make a mistake and they all make fun of me? All I've got to do is read this report, but I'm a wreck. The emotion you felt and the thoughts that you had when you stood up to speak are now anchored in your mind. So the next time you stand up to speak, now whether that's in the same situation again, or even when you stand up to give the father of the bride speech at your daughter's wedding, those same thoughts, same feelings and same emotions will play out again. So your hands will start to shake, you'll start to sweat, and the same pattern of negative thought will play out in your mind. So you'll end up again with exactly the same result. And worse now, it's happened a couple of times. So that pattern now becomes your belief, and so it's much more likely to happen every time now. Does that make sense? Okay, so there are several ways of interrupting our patterns and creating new ones, but the ones I've found that are most successful we'll go over in the next bit. Okay, so now it's time for you to take some action. Now, the simplest way to reduce the effects of any patterns you have is when you find yourself in a situation that starts one of those patterns running, let's say the embarrassment pattern. Practice recognizing the fact that it is only an emotion and tell yourself, I'm feeling the emotion of embarrassment, or it might be fear or uncertainty or whatever it is at the time. Now, it won't necessarily stop the pattern from running in the future, but by naming it and telling yourself that you're feeling the emotion of whatever it happens to be, it will stop you running that particular pattern this time. Now, that small change will make a huge difference to your ability to see your way through the situation and act in a way that gives you more confidence to deal with it effectively. Now, over time, this one little thing could be enough to stop the particular pattern running, as long as you do it each time. But the problem with it is you need to remember to interrupt the pattern while you're running it, and sometimes that's not such an easy thing to do. So the best thing to do is to create a replacement anchor that you can run whenever you're about to be in that situation in the future, and that will start running a different pattern instead. So how do we go about doing that? Well, let's say that for the last couple of years you've been absolutely desperate to leave your current job and find something that makes you want to get out of bed and go back to work in the morning, but you're hopeless at interviews. Your mind goes blank, you tend to say stupid things, you visibly sweat, and you're just generally uncomfortable. So what's happening in this situation is you're running your uncomfortable at interviews pattern. It's the pattern you always run when you're in a position of having to sit down in front of someone you don't know and answer questions that you just know you're going to forget the answers to. And it runs exactly the same way every single time. So what you need to do is anchor a more empowering pattern. One that you can run whenever you find yourself in the same or similar situations again. So the way you do that, firstly, you need to find yourself somewhere quiet. Then just close your eyes and think back to a time where something you did was truly successful. Something where the elation you felt was exciting, or it made you feel strong or unbeatable, for example. Now, obviously, I don't know what that might be for you. Maybe it was when you saw your new baby for the first time. Maybe it was when you aced a particularly difficult test. Or maybe it was when you proposed and they said yes. Maybe it was even when you learnt to ride a bike or even drive a car. It doesn't really matter what it was, as long as it was exciting for you, or at least it made you feel powerful. So now go back to that time in your mind and completely relive that experience. Visualise the moment it happened. Relive the smells, the sights, the sounds of that moment. Feel the emotions you felt, the same as you felt in the first time round. Remember the feelings you were having. Relive everything as though it was happening again right now, right this very minute. Then, when you're at the pinnacle of that memory, so when you're actually remembering the sounds, you're smelling the smells and you're seeing the sights, you're feeling all the same emotions, having exactly the same thoughts, then anchor those feelings by doing something that's unusual, like, for example, pinching the back of your hand or using three fingers and tapping the side of your head. It doesn't really matter what it is, as long as it's something that your mind can anchor to those particular feelings. And obviously it'll be more powerful the more times you can do it. So, for example, maybe an hour later, go through the same process again, or do it with a different set of memories that produce the same sorts of feelings or emotions. The only rule to creating this anchor is that whatever you decide to do to anchor those feelings and those emotions must be exactly the same every time you want to boost it. So, for example, if you, let's say, clapped 3 times to anchor the first set of memories, and you clapped 3 times for the second set of memories, but the second time your hands weren't in exactly the same position, then all you've done is anchored a second set of emotions rather than boosting the first set. So does that make sense? Okay, so using actions like pinching the back of your hand or pulling your index finger, for example, are easier to repeat exactly. And then when you have to perform the task that you're nervous about, release that excitement pattern or that strength pattern, whatever it was, just by pulling your finger or pinching the back of the hand, whatever it was for you. And you can do the same thing if you want to be able to run, for example, I don't know, a calm and collected pattern for when you need to give a speech. Just go through the same process. So just go back, relive a time when you were feeling completely calm and relaxed in the past, refill the same emotions exactly as you did before, then just choose a different anchor for those feelings, maybe pulling your little finger. And again, the more often you boost the anchor, the better it's going to be for you. Okay, so just before we finish today, I've got a couple of things for you to remember about thoughts and emotions generally. And they are, firstly, remember that feelings are just messages. They make you aware of information that's coming into your nervous system, that's all. And it's up to you to decide how you want to act on those messages. Secondly, that all emotions are valuable. Even fear, for example. Fear was just designed to keep us safe. Guilt's there to remind us that we've gone against one of our values. Every emotion has a positive purpose, even if it doesn't seem like it at the time. But seeing your emotions as a message means you're better able to determine the best course of action. And lastly, remember that emotions are part of you. They're there to guide you in your decision making. Just make sure that you learn to use them rather than letting them use you. So that's it for this episode. You can find the show notes, as usual, over at theskillfulmind.com/podcast/10. I hope you found this useful. And as usual, if you've got any comments or questions, you can leave those on the podcast page as well. So remember to keep taking action every single day, and I'll speak to you soon. Bye for now.